Good evening or good morning, wherever you may be. This is a unusual night. It's an energy night. Sundown tonight was the 14th day of Adar, Aleph. So the holiday of Purim is not celebrated in most of the world, but the Kabbalists teach us that the energy today is the same as what it would be on Purim. And we can make that connection by reading and studying the Megillat Esther. Megillat is a word that means scroll, and Esther is a name. But the shorishes of these two words, Megillat comes from a shorish that means revealed, revelation. Esther comes from a shorish that means concealed. So the reading of the Megillat Esther is a revelation of the concealed. One of the unique aspects of the Megillat is the Yudke Vavke is never in the scroll in a revealed way. And so the revelation of the concealed is referring to the Tetragrammaton, because the story of Purim, the story of Queen Esther, is about certainty, to know that God won't let the Jewish people be destroyed. It's about looking for the hidden or concealed hand of the Creator as our lives are planned and manifest, looking for that plan, the plan of God. That's what the Purim Megillah is all about. The scroll is, the story is telling us. So I'm going to use a mechanical device to read the scroll. Chapter by chapter. There are 10 chapters. And I'm not sure we'll get too much past a few of them. But one of the amazing stories that needs to be said at the beginning is in, let me make sure, I believe it's in chapter 9. If you have a Tanakh, it will be written in the Hebrew that way. But in chapter 9, there is a list of 10 sons of Haman who get hung. And in that list of 10 sons of Haman, there are 3 small letters. Those 3 letters are Kaf, Shin, and Zion. The Hebrew years as we are in is Taf, Shin, Ayin, Aleph. Taf, Shin, Zion is 1946. In the English calendar. And there is a report that is documented on the internet for those of you who want to question its veracity. Because in the scroll, in the story of Purim, Haman's sons are killed. They are representing the 10 negative spherot, the cleansing that needs to take place prior to revelation of the concealed, the revelation of Hashem, the revelation of the Mashiach. And the story that is written about, recorded about, there were 11 men that had been sentenced to die by the Nuremberg trials in 1946. One of them managed to hang himself in the cell the night before. So there were now 10 men to be hung on a particular night in the year Tafshin Zion. Why are those letters, Tafshin Zion, small, representing the letters connected to Malchut, the manifestation? Nobody knows. Of course, the story I'm about to tell you will give you an explanation, but it's up to you to see it as truth, or as coincidence, or just a made-up connection. Because this story is about, this holiday is about, the revelation of the concealed. These 10 German prisoners of war, who had been responsible for a tremendous amount of the chaos in the camps, and a tremendous amount of the Shoah, these 10 men were marched from their cells to the hanging platform, just as the story in Chapter 9 describes what took place to the 10 sons of Haman. And one of them, who did not speak Hebrew, did not speak Persian, Farsi, spoke German. As he is being marched and climbing the steps, he screams out, Purim Fest, 1946. Purim Fest. It's documented on the internet. It happened. Let's learn more as we play the Megillah. I'm not saying the end of a car, because this, we're reading directly directly from the Tanakh. It's not a higher level than the Anabakoah, but it's a different form of energy. So I decided, because of time constraints, not to say the Anabakoah tonight. But if you'll forgive me, I'm going to say it very quickly, just the letters. Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tzav Sadi. Kuf Reshayan Sintet Nun. Kuf and Gimel. Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin. Bet Tet Resh Sadi Taf Gimel. Het Kuf Bet Tet Nun Ayin. Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zion Kuf. Shin Kuf Av Sadi Yud Taf.
Madame, hail,
In the courtyard of the garden of the king's palace, there were hangings of white, fine cotton and turquoise wool, held with cords of fine linen and purple wool. Upon silver rods and marble pillars, the couches of gold and silver were on a pavement of variegated marble. The drinks were served in golden vessels, vessels of diverse form, and royal wine in abundance, in accordance with the king's wealth. And the drinking was according to the law. There was no coercion, for so the king had established for every officer of his house to do according to each man's pleasure. One of the questions the sages asked, what did the Jews do that they were threatened with this extinction? More so, not even threatened, they were going to be killed, every last Jew in the world, because that was the hatred that Haman had for us. What had we done that earned that potential risk? And the sages explain that we were living in exile in Babylonia, in Persia. We were living in exile. And the king planned 180 days of his reign. He planned parties. Every night there was a party. As the Muslims' custom is in today's world, in their holiday of Ramadan, they eat every evening and fast all day long for 180 days. And all of the citizens of the nation were invited to this party for 180 days in all of the capitals of the provinces. And the Jews of the exile were invited. And they had a choice, as we just read. And their choice was to go, because maybe they would get a government contract. Maybe they would get some honors. Maybe they would be noticed by their absence. And they were afraid to draw attention to themselves. For many different reasons, the Jewish men went. The Jewish people went. But that's not what was expected of them. That was not the correction of the generation. The correction was of the generation was to maintain being Jewish and not assimilated during the 70 years of exile. That was the correction of that generation. And they went to the parties anyway without. And what did they see at these parties? It's described as the wealth and the riches of King Ahasuerus. But what they were really describing is the wealth and the richness of the temple that had been destroyed, with its treasures carried off to Babylonia, to Persia. Its treasures of the menorah, its treasures of all of the different utensils used in the temple. And that's what the Jews at this Goyesha party were exposed to. And they didn't get up and leave. They weren't offended by the holiness being used in an unholy way, as we will read in a little further. Understand the generation had failed in its correction. Yes, it'll be given another chance, but that's why it was under the edict of death, not from King Ahasuerus, but from the heavenly courts. Queen Vashti also made a feast for the women in the royal house of King Ahasuerus. On the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he told Mehuman, Bezita, Harbona, Bigtha, and Abagatha, Zetar, and Carcass, the seven chamberlains who attended King Ahasuerus, to bring Queen Vashti before the king, adorned with the royal crown, to show off to the people and the officials her beauty, for she was beautiful of appearance. But Queen Vashti refused to come. At the king's command, conveyed by the hand of the chamberlains, the king therefore became very enraged, and his wrath burned in him. Now why wouldn't she come? It was a party. And she was having a party with her women. Why wouldn't she come? She had a chance to wear the royal crown in public, and nothing else. She was ordered to appear in the nude to show off the beauty of his queen. And she refused. A very strong woman, Queen Vashti. Risking death. When the king spoke to the wise men, those who knew the times, for such was the king's procedure, to turn to all who knew law and judgment, actually to turn to all who knew astrology and opportunistic times, those closest to him, Harshina, Shetar, Admatha, Tarshish, Meres, Marcina, and Memucan, the seven officers of Persia and Medina who had access to the king, who sat first in the kingdom. By the law, what should be done to Queen Vashti for not having obeyed the bidding of the king Ahasuerus, conveyed by the hand of the chamberlains? Memucan declared before the king and officials, not only against the king has Queen Vashti done wrong, but against all the officials and all the people in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus. For the queen's deed will go forth to all women, making their husbands contemptible in their eyes, when they will say, King Ahasuerus said to bring Queen Vashti before him, but she did not come. And this day the princes of Persia and Media, who have heard of the queen's deed, will speak of it to all the king's officials, and there will be much contempt and rage. If it pleases the king, let there go forth a royal edict from him, and let it be written into the laws of Persia and Media, that it not be revoked, that Vashti never again appear before King Ahasuerus. And let the king confer her royal estate upon another, who is better than she. Then the king's decree which he will proclaim shall be heard throughout all his kingdom, great though it be, and all the wives will show respect to their husbands, great and small alike. This proposal was favorable in the eyes of the king and the officials, and the king did according to the word of Memucan, and he sent letters to all the king's provinces, to each province in its own script, and to each people in its own language, to the effect that every man should rule in his own home and speak the language of his own people. What were they afraid of? They were afraid that their wives wouldn't obey them. If Queen Vashti didn't obey the King Ahasuerus, why did a wife need to obey her husband? And ultimately, when we think about it, as women's liberation movement teaches us in our generation, the wife doesn't have to obey her husband. She can say no. She does not have to be ordered about and accept those orders without question. Queen Vashti was centuries ahead of her time. Let us again start reading from the scroll at the beginning of chapter 2.
Ahar ajmarim ha'ele eshur Hamad ha'melech Ahasuerosh Sakar et mashir me'et asher azada Me'et asher nikzar aleha Mayomeru na'are ha'melech mesharetam Yemachu la'melech Ne'arot betulot Tomot mare Me'afted ha'melech Pekidim Bekol medinot Malkuto Me'itbetsu Et kol na'ara betula Tomot mare Shushan Habira El Bet Anashim El Yad Ege Teris HaMelech Shomer Anashim Venaton Namruke.
I'm stopping it, but I will continue it. I just wanted to point out that a few words earlier, Teris HaMelech Shomer, the king said, didn't say King Ahasuerus. This is the first time that this occurs.
Vayasken Ish Yehudi Tayab Meshushan Habira Ushmo Mordechai Ben Yadir Ben Shimri Ben Kish Ish Yemini Asher Ola Mirushalayim Im Agola Asher Ordeta Im Yekonia Melech Yehuda Asher Hegla Nebuchad Metzar Melech Bamel Mahi Omen Et Hadasa Ki Esther Bat Dodot Ki Emla Amaden Anara yefat tohar metumat maher umot amia medimah lekachah modokai lo lemat mahi vehishama demar amelech medato upikamet neharot Rabot El Shushan Habira El Yad Hegai Madilaka Hester El Bet HaMelech
Chapter 2. After these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus had subsided, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what had been decreed against her. Then the king's attendants said, "Let there be sought from the king young maidens of beautiful appearance." See, from the king's attendants, that's where the messengers of Hashem were working behind the scenes to bring Esther into the opportunity to save the nation by creating a beauty contest, as we will continue to read. "And let the king appoint commissioners in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they gather together every young maiden of beautiful appearance to Shushan the capital, to the harem, under the charge of Hegai, the king's chamberlain, guardian of the women, and let their cosmetics be given them." Now there's a midrash that teaches us that cosmetics was given to women as part of the, seduction of the women of men, the daughters of men who were so attractive to the angels who fell to earth, going back to chapter 6 in Genesis, that the daughters of men were so attractive that the angels couldn't stop themselves and they seduced these women. And what was their tool? Their tool was cosmetics. And again, this is being taught to us through this scroll of the revelation of God, the revelation of the concealed. "Then let the girl who pleases the king reign in place of Vashti." The matter pleased the king, and he did so. Now, think in terms of the complexity of state. The important thing is to have a beauty contest, so the queen should be the most beautiful woman in the nation. And how long will her beauty last? Well, if it's injured, it lasts forever. But ultimately, this whole thing makes sense, but people read it as children. They don't ask these kinds of questions. "There was a Jewish man, Shusha. His name was Mordechai. He was the son of Yair, son of Shimei, son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had been exiled from Jerusalem along with the exiles, who had been exiled with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylonia, had exiled. And he had reared Hadassah. She is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother. The maiden was finely featured and beautiful of appearance. And when her father and mother had died, Mordechai adopted her as his daughter. So it came to pass, when the king's bidding and decree were announced, and when many young maidens were being brought together to Shushan, to the capital, under the charge of Hegai, that Hegai, guardian of the women, the girl was pleasing in his eyes, and she found favor before him. He hurriedly prepared her cosmetics and her allowance of delicacies to present her, along with seven attendants from the king's palace, and he transferred her and her maidens to the best quarters in the harem. Esther had not I am continuing to read. Sorry for the disconnection. Sometimes the technology fails us. So it came to pass when the king's bidding and decree were announced. Oh, I read that. Esther had not told of her people or her kindred, for Mordecai had instructed her not to tell. Day after day, Mordecai would walk about in front of the courtyard of the harem to learn about Esther's well-being and what would become of her. Her name is Hadassah. Hadassah is mercy. Her name is Hadassah, who was Esther. Mercy that is concealed. An interesting approach. We don't understand that when we read the surface level of the story. Now, when each maiden's turn arrived to come to King Ahasuerus, after having been treated according to the law prescribed for women for 12 months, for so was the prescribed length of their anointing accomplished, 6 months with oil of myrrh and 6 months with perfumes and feminine cosmetics. And when the girl came in this manner to the king, she was given whatever she requested to accompany her from the harem to the king's palace. In the evening she would come, and in the morning she would return to the second harem in the charge of Shashgaz, the king's chamberlain, guardian of the concubines. She would never again come to the king unless the king desired her, and she was summoned by name, which didn't happen too often. Now when the turn came for Esther, daughter of Abigail, uncle of Mordecai, who had adopted her as his daughter, to come to the king, she requested nothing except that which Haggai, the king's chamberlain, guardian of the woodmen, had advised. Esther would find favor in the eyes of all who saw her. Esther was taken to King Ahasuerus, into his royal palace in the 10th month, which is the month of Tevet, in the 7th year of the reign. The king loved Esther more than all the women, and she found more favor and kindness before him than all the other maidens, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen in place of Vashti. Then the king made a great banquet for all his officers and his servants. It was Esther's banquet. And he proclaimed an amnesty for the provinces and gave gifts worthy of the king's hand. And when the maidens were gathered together the second time, and Mordecai sat at the king's gate, Esther still told nothing of her kindred or her people, as Mordecai had instructed her. For Esther continued to obey Mordecai, just as when she was reared by him. In those days, while Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate, Bigthan and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains of the guardians of the threshold, became enraged and sought to send their hand against King Ahasuerus. The matter became known to Mordecai, who told it to Queen Esther. And Esther informed the king in Mordecai's name. The matter was investigated and found to be truth, and they were both hanged on the gallows. It was recorded in the Book of Chronicles in the king's presence. What is all of this about? It's all part of the plan, as you will see later as you read the story. You'll see how the plan of God comes to fruition, step by step. We're now going to read from chapter 3.
Marim Adelet Vidal Amelik Akashverosh Et Aman Ben Amidada.
I'm stopping it, and I'm sorry I wasn't fast enough. Ahasuerus et Haman. Haman is the name of the villain in the story. Haman, is a man who was a descendant of Agag, the king of the Amalekites, the king of the nation of Amalek, who was not killed by King Shaul and got a woman pregnant the night before he was killed by the prophet Samuel. And so the Amalek nation still existed and manifested in the days of Esther and Mordecai, manifested as Haman. Now the Haman has a gematria of 95. Another number. What's the big deal? It's the same gematria as the word Hamelech, the king. Haman is one side, the negative side. Hamelech, the king, is the positive side. They're two halves of one coin. Just as the gematria of the word snake, Nahash, is 358, and the gematria of the word Mashiach is also 358. They're two halves of the same coin. This is a deeper understanding that would take too long to explain fully, but it's part of the Kabbalistic understanding of the scroll of Esther.
מכל עמדי המלך אשר בשער המלך קוראים ומשתחמים להמן.
Haman. The practice in most synagogues in the world today, when reading the scroll at Purim, is to make noise to drown out the name Haman, to destroy his negativity. But the Kabbalists are very quiet, and they meditate. They meditate on one of the names of God, Kaf He Taf. The essence of Kaf He Taf is a laser-like light that burns negativity and cleanses negativity. And every time they heard the word Haman, they cleanse negativity with their consciousness and their meditations.
אשר בשער המלך למרדכי, מדוע אתה אומר את מצוות המלך? מה היא? אומרם אליו יום ויום, ולא שמע עליהם. מה יגידו למען להיות היעמדו דברי מרדכי, כי יגיד להם אשר הוא יהודי, Vayaraman, ki en Mordechai, Urea umishachamitlo, Vayimale Haman, Hema, Vayimis Venam, Lishoach Yad, en Mordechai Lebado, ki igidu lo, et am Mordechai, My Makesh Haman, Lehashmit et kol ha-Yehudim, Asher, Bekol Malchut Ahashverosh, Am-Mordechai. Ha-Chodesh Ha-Rishon, U-Chodesh Nisan, Bishnat Shetem Esreh, La-Melech Ahashverosh, Tivil Hu Ha-Goral Lifnei Haman Miyom Liyom Umechodesh Lechodesh Shenem Azar Uchodesh Adar Vayomer Haman.
Chapter 3. After these things, King Ahasuerus promoted Haman, son of Hammedata, the Agagite, and elevated him. He set his seal above all the officers who were with him. All the king's servants at the king's gate would bow down and prostrate themselves before Haman, for so had the king commanded concerning him. But Mordechai would not bow and would not prostrate himself. So the king's servants who were at the king's gate said to Mordechai, "Why do you disobey the king's command?" Now it happened that when they said this to him day after day, and he did not heed them, they told Haman to see whether Mordechai's words would prevail. For he had told them that he was a Jew. When Haman himself saw that Mordechai did not bow down and prostrate himself before him, Haman was filled with wrath. However, it seemed contemptible to him to send his hand against Mordechai alone, for they had told him of the people of Mordechai. So Haman sought to destroy all the Jews who were throughout the entire kingdom of Ahasuerus, the people of Mordechai. In the first month, which is the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, Pur, that is, the lot, was cast in the presence of Haman from day to day and from month to month to the 12th month, which is the month of Adar. Pur means lots. Haman cast lots. He threw the dice day after day to see what the dice would tell him was the best day to kill the Jews. Then Haman said to King Ahasuerus, "There is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the peoples in all the provinces of your realm. Their laws are different from every other people's, and they do not observe the king's laws. Therefore, it is not befitting the king to tolerate them." If it pleases the king, let it be recorded that they be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 silver talents into the hands of those who perform the duties for deposit in the king's treasuries. So the king removed his signet ring from his hand and gave it to Haman, son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, enemy of the Jews. Then the king said to Haman, "The silver is given to you, the people also, to do with as you see fit." The king's scribes were summoned on the 13th day of the first month. and everything was written exactly as Haman had dictated, to the king's satraps, to the governors who were over every province, and to the officials of every people, each province in its own script. And lo, each people in its own language, it was written in the name of King Ahasuerus, and it was sealed and filled with the king's signet ring. Letters were sent by courier to all the provinces of the king, to destroy, to slay, and to exterminate all the Jews, from young to old, children and women, in one day, on the 13th of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, and to plunder their possessions. Copies of the document were to be promulgated in every province, and be published to all peoples for them to be prepared for that day. The couriers went forth hurriedly by order of the king, and the edict was distributed to Shushan, the capital. The king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city of Shushan was bewildered. Giving you an explanation, Haman took a year and threw lots to see which day to kill the Jews. And then he talked to the king and persuaded him, wasn't too hard, as I will explain. He persuaded the king to kill the Jews, and the king sent his notice to every province to kill the Jews, and he sent that on the 13th day of Nisan. Why the 13th? The day of unity? When we come to Pesach in Nisan, and we have certain rituals associated with what goes on, there's a unique ritual that we do on the 13th that takes control of the whole year. So Mordecai is not afraid because he knows God will spare the nation. But the people, everyone else, was confused. They didn't know what to do. How are we going to survive? This is an edict of the king, and a king's edict cannot be withdrawn. It cannot be changed. What is going to happen? We're out of time. I will play, but probably won't have time to explain. The 10 sons of Haman in chapter 9. The location of the three small letters that relate to Purim Fest 57. 07 or I'm sorry.